Councilman Shirley, would you give the invocation, please?
Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you bestowed on our community, and we pray tonight for your guidance, that our decisions will be for the good of our community. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number one on the agenda is approval of the agenda.
So
moved. We have a motion. In a second, if no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Number two, City of Carlsbad Financials, June 2020, Ms. Austin. This is an information-only presentation.
Okay, let me adjust this a little bit. Okay, good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for being here this evening, and I'm certain you've already had an opportunity to review the financials, so I will give you a brief summary of the city's cash position as of June 20th, which is the 12th and final accounting period of fiscal year 2019-20. The city had a beginning fiscal year cash balance of $99.7 million and an ending cash balance of $98.1 million. I'm pleased to report that the city's revenues of $129.8 million are $9.5 million favorable to the $120.3 million budget and 8% above target. This favorable variance is attributable to the upward trend in gross receipts tax revenue, which the city experienced throughout most of the fiscal year. The city's labor costs of $47.8 million are $3.3 million favorable to the $50.9 million budget and 6% below target. The city's operating costs of $53 million are $5.4 million favorable to the $58.4 million budget and 9% below target. The city's capital costs of $30.7 million are $24.7 million below the $55.4 million budget and 45% below target. Overall, the city decreased cash balance $1.6 million from the previous fiscal year. I'd like to note that this small decrease comes after some extraordinary costs, including $3.5 million for the city's contribution to the brine well remediation project and $13 million towards the redemption of the water and sewer bonds. And this will conclude my summary, and I'll stand for any questions.
Questions or comments for Ms. Austin? Thank you, Ms. Austin.
Thank you, Mayor.
Number three, consider approval of Resolution 2020-30, a resolution approving the fourth quarter financial report as of June the 30th, 2020. Again, Ms. Austin.
Okay, Mayor, Council, DFA requires that all cities and counties electronically upload quarterly financial reports supporting documents to the budget management system. These reports must be submitted in DFA's format, which includes combining the city's funds into the appropriate DFA funds. Only the fourth quarter report requires certification by council. The DFA quarterly report is a summary of what I previously went over with you with the June 2020 financials, and I would recommend that you approve this resolution.
Questions or comments for Ms. Austin? Thank you, Ms. Austin.
Thank you.
Make a motion for approval.
We have a motion to approve. Second. And a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Number four, consider approval of Resolution 2020-31. A resolution making certain budgetary adjustments to the 2019-20 fiscal year budget. Again, Ms. Austin.
Okay, thank you again, Mayor. The city is required to make certain year-end budget adjustments for any fund where expenditures finish the year in excess of the approved budget. And this doesn't happen very often, but this year the employees' health insurance fund had several large claims that were paid over the last few weeks, putting the fund's expenditures in excess of the approved budget by $321,000. This does not mean that the fund has a credit balance. The fund actually has a balance of $1.6 million. It only means that the expenditures exceeded the budget at year end. Therefore, I would recommend that you approve this resolution so that the city is in compliance with DFA reporting requirements and generally accepted accounting principles.
Questions or comments for Ms. Austin? Thank you, Ms. Austin.
Thank you, Mayor.
I would move for approval of resolution 2020-31.
We have a motion to approve and a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Number five, consider approval of resolution 2020-32, a resolution approving the City of Carlsbad 2020-21 FY final budget. One more time, Ms. Austin.
Okay. Mayor, Council, again, thank you for allowing me to present to you tonight, and this is the final budget for fiscal year 21. Again, I'm certain you had an opportunity to review the budget, so I will just elaborate on a few items. The city has developed a very conservative budget that reflects the uncertainty in the local economy as a result of the downturn in the oil and gas markets and the impacts of COVID-19. Overall, the city has budgeted a deficit of $11 million, but fortunately, the city has reserves for such times. In addition, the city's directors all used a great amount of care and consideration when making their budget requests and fine-tuning those requests throughout the process. In addition, the city was able to meet with the budget committee on a few occasions, and the budget committee has provided input throughout all levels of the budget cycle, whether that be through email or telephone conversations. In summary, the city has budgeted a total of $94 million in revenues. This is a 27% reduction from fiscal year 20 revenues and is primarily related to a reduction in gross receipts tax revenue budget. The labor budget is $50.3 million, which is a 1% decrease from fiscal year 20. The operating budget is $37.1 million, which is a 37% decrease from fiscal year 20. The project budget for new projects is $22.6 million. In addition, projects that are not considered critical are being placed on hold until certain revenue trends are recognized and further confidence is gained from the local economy. And again, I would stand for any specific questions related to the budget.
Questions or comments for Ms. Austin? Thank you, Ms. Austin.
Thank you.
Councilman Rodriguez.
Sir, Mayor, this is a very tough budget to work out, and I really, really want to show my appreciation to the Budget Committee, to the Finance Department, and all of the department heads for coming together, working with us on this. Everyone understanding that the downturn in the economy means that we all needed to step back just a little bit and take a breath and tighten up the belt just a bit. And I really do appreciate everyone having done that. We were very conservative in our projections, and we will continue to hold that line until, like Ms. Austin said, the economy does turn around and sustains the turnaround for a period of time. And with that, I would move for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
A second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Thank you, Ms. Austin. Yes, ma'am.
Council, if you could please come in and sign the resolutions as quickly as possible, because we have a deadline to get this information to DFA by July 31st. Thank you.
Number six, routine and regular business. All matters under this heading are considered routine by the City Council and will be acted upon in one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items. If discussion is desired on a particular item, upon request, that item may be removed from the routine and regular business and be considered separately. And I'd ask Mr. Lowe to briefly discuss C1.
Yes. Mayor, members of the council, item C1 is a request to award bid 2020-12 to Advanced Pest Management for pest control services for various city departments. Their monthly fee is $1,550. This is an annual thing we do each year, and so we're asking to approve 2020-12 to Advanced Pest Management.
How many departments?
Roughly 28.
28.
Yes.
Okay. Questions or comments for Mr. Lowe?
I'll make a motion for approval, Mayor.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
All items under routine and regular business have passed. Number seven, infrastructure capital improvement plan. Preliminary list presentation for FY22-26 for council review and recommendation for changes. And this is a discussion only item. And Mr. Lowe.
Yes. Mayor, members of the council, included in your packet tonight is the preliminary ICI plan for this year. Each year, the governing body is given the opportunity to review and provide recommendations on the plan before consideration of the formal resolution, which will happen in 2 weeks. So each project on the list has been prioritized, and there's a narrative associated with each project. The next step in this would be to provide those recommendations or feedback. It will come back before the council on August 11th for consideration of the resolution to approve the plan.
Questions or comments? If not, we'll move to number eight. Consider approval of whether to proceed with amending the city's uniform traffic ordinance to permit recreational off-highway vehicles or all-terrain vehicles on city-owned and controlled streets. Begin with Mr. Lowe.
Yes. Mayor, members of the council, in 2016 and 2017, state law was amended to permit local authorities to consider whether to allow these types of vehicles off-highway and all-terrain to be on paved city streets that the local authority has control over. Currently, the city's uniform traffic ordinance does not allow vehicles on these type of vehicles on city-controlled streets. Any change with that would be an ordinance change to the uniform traffic ordinance.
Mr. Carter, as chairman of the committee, do you have a comment you'd like to make?
No, I'm ready for the discussion. We've been through this a couple of years ago. At that time, it was recommended to council to not move forward with even looking at adopting an ordinance. It's revisited itself, or here we are again. So I thought it might be better to come back and have a discussion as a whole council instead of just having a few people and getting their input and see what the pros and cons are and kind of get a feel for what our recommendation would be if our recommendation is to either have staff look at drafting some sort of ordinance that would apply to us adopting to allow this or denying it altogether.
Okay. Chief Skinner, you have some comments you'd like to make?
Mayor and members of council, I was asked to sit on this committee and review the OHV, the possibility of us bringing this into city ordinance. It definitely made me think back. I've been kind of in this position before when I was the chief of police in Iowa. We brought some local ordinance in that allowed some OHV vehicles in the town. There's to kind of eliminate some of the details about how we went, some of the special processes we set up with special permitting with the city and things. As far as the outcoming results of those things, I would say I'm not an advocate for. We didn't have positive results We had four fatal accidents in a 13-month period there, and it was definitely a much less populated town than what Carlsbad is. The concerns I have with Carlsbad, to speak from a, to me, a logistical standpoint that would create a problem, is we already have existing traffic flow problems in town just with normal vehicular traffic. I think anyone that's drove down residential streets in Carlsbad will see there's some natural choke points that occur from parking issues that I think we have a lot of people trying to park in a very small amount of space, and definitely concerned. We drove some places throughout town to kind of judge sight lines and stuff like that, and a lot of these OHVs with some of the vehicles that we have in our residential streets are going to be below people's sight lines, coming in and out of people's sight lines, in and out behind vehicles. And I think it's sometimes tough to see normal vehicular traffic with the way some of those choke points are set up. I think it creates an issue. Obviously, there's some issues, natural issues with the law, not allowing to operate on state highways. Well, some jurisdictions don't have a whole lot of state highways that run through there. I mean, we have major, major state highways that run through our particular jurisdiction, and I don't know. We're already trying to keep people off. We have some difficult traffic patterns, like on 528 and things of that nature already, and we already have OHVs operating out there pretty regular, and we go to great lengths to try to enforce that to keep them off there. And I think we had a major state highway that ran through my jurisdiction in Iowa, and that's where we started kind of playing this cat and mouse game of, I'm not driving on it, I'm driving across it, I'm driving to get from this street, I'm crossing a major thoroughfare to get to this street, and that became a point of concern about, I'm not really operating my vehicle on a state highway. Well, you truly are. You're crossing it to get to another residential street, and it became a little bit of a cat and mouse game for us. And unfortunately, I think a four-year experiment into that, we look back on it, and the city really wished it hadn't moved in that direction. And I really felt a lot better about the traffic situation there than I do here. And I think from just an enforcement angle, from the police department's point, traffic is already our number one complaint. You know, people want traffic enforcement, whether it's through speed, reckless driving, loud vehicles, and stuff like that. We get loud noise complaints from some of the vehicle things we have here. We have natural state law that allows us to deal with some modifications for vehicles. If any of you guys are familiar with OHVs, there's a million modifications that you can make to these things. And if somebody who's operated one of them, they're a loud machine. And now I can tell you naturally, as I've seen it happen in Iowa, it generated a ton more noise complaints and vehicle complaints. And I think that's going to be the natural result here. Now, as I said on this committee, I heard some great arguments as far as why, good rationale as to why they wanted there to be an ordinance. I think there's a great deal of people that would run a safe vehicle, come up to equipment, you know, standards, would not be operating in a dangerous or reckless manner, and try to stick to the residential streets. But as we found often is once you bring these ordinances into effect, those people often become the minority, right? There's going to be a large majority of people that operate out there. We're not always going to be able to tell who's the proper age to be operating these things. It's a motorcycle or things like that, it takes special endorsements to operate these vehicles. It doesn't take special endorsements or things to operate an OHV. And so to me, it just brings a lot of concern. So I think if you're asking my opinion, as far as somebody will have to go out here and help mitigate these circumstances, and that is I'm not an advocate for bringing an OHV ordinance into city ordinance at this time.
Questions? Councilman?
Mayor? Chief Skinner, we already have a problem here with loud pipes all over this city, and it just really irritates me when these guys take their baffles out of their motorcycles, and I can't even hear my radio in my own truck. And I don't know. And we're talking about these OHVs, or what do you call it, all-terrain vehicles. I don't know, what happened back where you were after 4 years? Did things kind of quiet down, and was it okay after that, or was it just never okay?
No, we actually, the city council voted to take it out of ordinance is what ended up.
Oh, did it? Okay. Hey, that's cool.
And I think, Councilman Walterscheid, you speak to my point about when it comes to regular vehicles and even motorcycles and stuff like that, there's state law that governs some of the loud noises and things like that. I can find nothing in state law that would allow us to enforce anything on someone altering an OHV to be extremely loud. We don't have anything in state ordinance that governs that.
Yeah. But what is there something on the books about motorcycles right now? Is that, there's so many. Everybody that has a Harley has taken their baffles out, and it's just loud as could be. It's just terrible.
Yeah, yes, sir. We do have things in state ordinance that allow us to address that.
I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes right now.
Further questions for Chief Skinner?
Mayor, I have a question.
Councilman?
Chief, I know the legal age to drive an ATV or OHA is, what, 16?
Yes, sir.
Would you see an increased population in that age group on the road, say on the four lane? Possible?
I think that's extremely possible. I'm basing this partly on what I absolutely have seen up to this point. And I see a lot of young people operating OHVs around town. We're already addressing it. You know, we're already stopping out with these people and seeing very, very young children operate these things. And I was having a conversation with somebody the other day. I had to stop and talk to an 11-year-old that was on 528 like just 3 days ago.
One more question, Mayor. Chief, for the percentage you stop, say, that are in compliance, older gentlemen that, say, want to get this enforced, is it a small percentage compared to the people that – the kids are that are non-compliant?
And I think you make a great point, which is adds into just what I've said. The people that are doing it the right way, we very rarely come into contact with. The people that want to just, you know, hey, listen, I need to get serviced or whatever, and I don't want to trailer it and take it down the road and whatever, those people are very minimal contact that we have with those people. Mainly the people that we're having contact are underage, operating in a reckless manner, or driving it on. We've had them out on Pierce. I know one of the guys just checked out with somebody earlier today out by Carlsbad Ford. They were driving it right down the highway. So the most people we contact with are people that are not operating in compliance.
Any further questions? Thank you, Chief. Any other councilmen?
Mayor, if I may, I've just got a couple of comments I'd like to make. One of the biggest concerns I have is that these vehicles have off-road rated tires. I'm not in favor of allowing those balloon tires onto a paved road where something could happen, and we'd be held liable for that. These vehicles offer minimal protection for the operators. They're open side, open windshield. They do have a seat belt, but I don't think you have the dinger that goes off and that lets you know that you're not wearing it. Chief touched on the age of the driver. I mean, that's going to be very hard to determine if that kid is 16, 12, or 27 sometimes. There's no license required to operate one of these vehicles on a paved road. There's no license plate required, so the state of New Mexico does not recognize that vehicle as being legal to run on highways. And if it's not if it's not going to be allowed on a state highway or a U.S. highway, I'm not in favor of us allowing it on a city street either. I think we're going to have a lot of conflict when people are going off-road, like they're designed to do, coming onto a paved road, unannounced, on the side of the road, and I'm speaking from experience on that one. I live out very near the county, and I'd be driving down the road, and I've had to swerve where kids they can't see in the cloud of dust they're in, and they hit the roadway, and you got to swerve into someone else's driveway to keep from hitting a kid. And I'm also concerned, this may be a slippery slope, but if this were to be allowed, would golf carts then be next?
Could we see before the motion's made if there's a representative here for the ATV ordinance? There's nobody here. Okay. Is that a motion?
I would move that we not allow these vehicles onto city streets.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion?
Second.
And a second?
I'll second, but I want to say something, but you can call it a second.
I have to say that even coming in here tonight, I've leaned towards being in favor of allowing these, but I think the argument tonight is very compelling. So, and it's things that I hadn't heard before. So anyway, thank you for that, and thank you for allowing this to be heard tonight. So I think that this issue needs to be put to rest one way or the other. So I appreciate it so much, and that's a second.
Do we have a second?
Yes.
A second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Walter Scheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores. Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes. Number 9, consider approval of agreement between the City of Carlsbad and Longwood RB Pipeline to install a 12-foot steel gas oil pipeline and 12-inch water pipeline on city property outside the city limits. Mr. Lowe.
Mayor, members of the council, Longwood RB, also in conjunction with Matador, is requesting a general surface agreement to install a 12-inch gas oil pipeline and a 12-inch poly water pipeline on city property located outside the city limits, commonly known as the Western Farms property. Longwood would pay $270 per rod for the easement. That comes to a total of $196,360.20 in total. 3 months ago, the council also approved an easement for the same company on the Western Farms property as well.
Questions or comments for Mr. Lowe? If not, we have a representative from Longwood. You'd like to make a statement?
Resources. I'd just like to say thank you for your consideration of this project. It's a big project for our organization and our company, and we appreciate all your consideration. Like I said, thank you.
Okay. Questions or comments from the council?
Make a motion for approval, Mayor.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Walter Scheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Number 10, consider approval of agreement between the City of Carlsbad and San Mateo Black River to install a 12-inch steel oil pipeline on city property outside the city limits. Mr. Lowe.
Mayor, members of the council, San Mateo Black River Oil Pipeline is requesting a general surface agreement to install that 12-inch steel oil pipeline on city property, again located outside the city limits, and again on the Western Farms property, what is commonly known as the Western Farms property. San Mateo will also pay the City of Carlsbad $270 per rod. That comes to a total of $87,266.70 for that.
So. Questions or comments for Mr. Lowe? Any other
approval?
Any other representatives here that would like to make a statement?
Move for approval.
Is that a motion?
Yes, sir.
We have a motion to approve. And a second. Hard to see back there. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Walter Scheid.
Yes.
Mr. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Number 11, council committee reports. Do we have any councilmen that would like to make a report? Not, I would like to appoint a single family dwelling ordinance committee. And Mr. Lowe, if you would briefly discuss the complaints we've had on single family dwellings.
Yes, Mayor, members of the council, on numerous occasions each week, I receive a phone call about the number of vehicles parked at a given house in different neighborhoods throughout the community, asking what the regulation is. You know, it looks like a yard, you know, for an industrial company. And so we get those various questions each week and trying to answer and work with them and see if they're in violation of anything. So, Mayor, that is quite often a phone call we receive asking what the parameters are, what's allowed, what's not allowed, and what the city can do to help assist neighborhoods in those situations.
And I'd like to appoint Jason Shirley as chairman, Casey Cass, J.J. Chavis, and Judy Waters. Everybody accepts?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor.
And is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the council? No. That will move us to number 12, and I'd call on Councilor Lisa Anaya Flores.
Mayor, I make a motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Walter Scheidt?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavis?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
We're adjourned.